cliffcentral.com.
Hi there, it's Michael Kahn here, and I'm in studio at the CX Innovation and Tech Fest with Brett Lindsay. We are talking about innovation around customer experience and the disruption thereof. How are you, Brett?
I'm well, Mike. How are you doing? That was a very formal start to a Futurology podcast.
It was.
Yeah. And when you say studio, it's very loosely interpreted as a big auditorium at the Maslow.
Fantastic, though, isn't it? They've given us a whole auditorium. I feel quite special. But Brett, it's been a fantastic 2 days here.
It really has.
And you know, this is an introduction to all of our guest speakers who have joined us in our makeshift studio, our outside broadcast.
Yep.
And how have you found it, Brett?
It's really insightful. I like the fact that there's a lot of local speakers.
Yes.
All sharing case studies and use cases from local businesses doing things to impact the customer service area within our country.
100%.
And it's great to see that. I mean, we've always known South Africa is a great hotspot for innovation. And it's great to have innovation, but it's another thing to execute it and put it into the workplace. And
absolutely.
There's great things happening in South Africa. So that's encouraging.
And inspiring. But it's also been quite interesting listening to a lot of the comments in the audience. It's really interesting to see a lot of the challenges people are facing around innovation and this world of disruption with technology.
Yeah.
Which is really what we're doing here. It's really about the inspiring part of what we offer as a podcast, as an organization.
For sure.
Getting into organizations and inspiring people to shift their thinking around that.
Yeah, so rather than being afraid of the future, start embracing the possibilities around that change.
Absolutely.
And it's really cool. The great thing about customer experience as a focus is that it's about the people again.
100%. Absolutely.
So it's not technology-led. It's not all these things that are sometimes too big to understand or comprehend. It comes down to the person. It comes down to a real need with real people.
Absolutely.
And we can inspire that change to say, don't fear, embrace that change. Let's go.
Absolutely, which is critical. But Brett, do you want to just give us a very brief introduction to what this is all about?
Cool. So in short, it's the CX Innovation and Tech Fest, where they celebrate people, technology, ideas, and innovations that are literally transforming the way businesses make and keep customers. That's the important thing. So it's one thing to get them, but how do you retain them?
Absolutely.
And it's around service. And what is the big talk around CX and what are we doing innovatively? What are we doing things? But it comes down to the fact that we know the world is changing.
Absolutely.
Customers are more demanding. Customer loyalty is decreasing. New technologies are constantly emerging. And it's how do you get your market share? As a business that has a huge consumer base, how do you get that market share? How do you attract them? How do you keep them? How do you seduce them to stay with you or even come across from the dark side? And you've got to make sure that it's the USP that you start to have is around customer experience and the customer service. It's not so much low-cost pricing anymore. It's not high-quality product. It's what is your brand? What is the combination of all of that?
Absolutely.
And there's great discussion happening here at this. And it's round about how technology has become an essential tool to enable a shift in thinking with business to move more into a CX way of life. And it's really great to see it happening here in Johannesburg.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy this podcast. What we have done is we've changed the format here. So please download this podcast. And the rest of the CX podcasts are available on our Futurology homepage on Cliff Central.
Yeah, and if you want to follow us on Twitter, we have a Twitter handle at Futurology Show. And you can tweet us as much as you like. And we'll be tweeting out some of the shows as well. So follow
Absolutely.
Us.
Fantastic. Enjoy. Hi there, we're still at the Customer Experience and Innovation Tech Fest, and I'm chatting to Simon Clark. Give us a background to who you are and as a banker, what you're doing at a customer tech show as an Australian in South Africa.
Yeah, sure. It's certainly a rare combo. So I currently look after the digital self service team at Suncorp. So we mainly look after internet banking and mobile banking apps, and certainly across some broader projects such as online account opening, which is what I spoke about this morning. So been in banking 12 years, so kind of came fresh-faced out of university with a marketing degree going,
fantastic.
What do I do with that?
Yep.
Did a gap year in the US skiing in the fields and thought I probably should come back and earn some money and pay that off. And kind of really slipped into the role. So I kind of started off as a little junior analyst way back when and then just kind of moved my way through the ranks. So I think with myself not really having a hardcore management background or an IT background, it's all been self-taught. So it was kind of a good approach of not really knowing the usual corporate spiel of how stuff's done and not being influenced by those ye old baby boomer type management. So I guess a lot of it's really just around appreciating everything that's out there in terms of, I guess, lean UX and all the frameworks around agile and UX design, and just putting your own little spin on it and hopefully churning out some nice little apps and experiences for customers just to make their lives a little bit easier.
Well, fantastic. Because, I mean, you know, we've got some big banks in South Africa and they've got quite a good reputation for being quite staid and not a great experience. Let's put it that way. And I'm being polite about them. I really am. How are you finding the ability? Because one of the big challenges is to really implement this in a culture that enables this process. How are you able to... And before we get into today, I just really want to dig into, you know, the process of work that you go through there, because it's a whole new way of thinking and doing things.
Yeah, like I think we're no different than the other bank or corporate. We've got our own challenges. So we've got a whole heap of legacy technology and the spaghetti sitting under the hood. And we certainly had, I guess, a change of culture where, I guess, this time 2 years ago, there was very little appetite to invest in the bank's digital capability. We're very much driven by branches because branches made money and sold home loans, and that's where 100%. The profit came from. So it's only really in the last 18 months that people have seen the value of digital to either perfect the experience. And I guess all these startups have been bashing down our door. And if people don't look towards a mobile first experience and try to target, I guess, the younger segments, millennials, et cetera, even the mature segments who have their iPad under the Christmas tree for Christmas and go, hey, I wouldn't mind getting a credit card. So, so I think it's certainly the technology and the culture that's been driving a lot of change. And it's really just kind of tapping at it. And it just really comes down to having proof in the pudding. It's just start small, deliver small, prove that you have half an idea what you're doing and just keep iterating and
keep going.
The influence and ultimately the budget just sort of starts to come your way and you move on to bigger and better things.
Phenomenal. And in terms of your focus, have you sat down and broken down the customer journey into the different across the different segments? And I mean, I'm just trying to understand how structured you've gone through this, or is it a question of finding the opportunities and really... enabling the opportunity.
Yeah, we've certainly done all that. And I guess with Suncorp being a fairly large corporate, so we do banking, insurance, and wealth, and we've got 12 brands. So we've kind of come from a one group, many brands model and kind of where customers went, oh, I didn't actually know you own brands X, Y, and Z. And we've kind of had a shift in direction now where all of our brands are completely out on the table. So,
fantastic.
And each brand kind of adds a little contribution and we're okay now actually telling customers that each of these brands are owned by the same parent company. So that said, we've done a lot of work to identify key segments. So you've got your millennials and small business and the mature customers, et cetera. So we kind of got these guiding principles, I guess, top of the food chain that drive kind of that direction between banking, insurance and everything else. But then we kind of take the elements of that and go, well, what are our drivers and working with our product and marketing buddies of what do we need to do to hit the business objectives, which... they always sort of come in this and you can design and build all the great stuff you want, but you still have to open X amount of accounts.
Absolutely.
So it's really getting that perfect mix of understanding what our customers, although our product teams and the business and the finance teams, what are they looking for?
Fantastic.
And for us as the gurus going, well, guys, I think if you actually pay attention to this part of the journey and optimize it or just gut it and start from scratch, you might get onto something there.
Fantastic. Now you've got a couple of presentations. They've lined you up. They're really milking the value.
Yeah, they certainly put me on a hat trick to, I think I'm speaking just as long as the transit time to get here. So a lot of late nights and slide overload. But so this morning I kind of covered off, I guess, one of the key projects around online account opening. So really kind of taking a lot of the work that Andrew prior to me sort of around the, I guess, all those concepts and out there thinking and your kind of collaboration and context and the razzle-dazzle side of innovation. And I guess we're kind of, I guess, across all that and look at all the endless buzz. But how do you kind of get those concepts and elements and fuse them into, a pragmatic real-life kind of program? So that's been a big journey for us. And certainly this afternoon, just unpacking this MVP concept that everyone bangs on about and how do you do it properly and how do you deliver innovation on a minimal budget, which I had the honor of doing a little while ago. So between that and the other buzzword of financial well-being, covering that off tomorrow. So I guess, in terms of Suncorp, we're cognizant of all these fluffy words that come around, but we like to take a real pragmatic and, I guess, customer-oriented approach and trying to avoid all the cliches. It's just taking an insight, running with it, building it, designing it, testing it. You either kill it or you release it to the wild.
So what have been, because I mean, this is a big change, because you said 2 years ago you really just started this. What have been some of the biggest lessons you've learned in going through this process?
Look, I think it's really around kind of forming that narrative and not underestimating how people know and don't know about banking, where I think for myself had a lot of change in management and a lot of people now at the helm actually don't have banking background. So, which is kind of a good thing. And I guess they've got appreciation where some of them are kind of ex-insurance and in the insurance digital world, well, you engage with your insurer once a year if you're lucky to pay your insurance renewal. And if you're lucky, you don't actually never engage them at all in terms of a claim. So Whereas in banking, they're engaging us 100 times a day on the app. So I think they kind of know the opportunity of that whole bank frequency interaction, and then pairing that with the opportunities and challenges of insurance, I guess we're ultimately working towards that perfect blend of how do we start to fuse the insurance and banking worlds together. So I think ultimately crafting up that vision and that strategy of of how you kind of use the best of both worlds and kind of the sum of whole and, really influence and get those guys on board, because I guess that still stands. Unless those guys are on board and just get it, you're always going to be hitting that brick wall or get that ongoing challenge of investment and profile, which I think quite a few people in the audience are in a similar nature. They just go, oh, my boss, he doesn't get it.
They're so old
and we've got these old systems and they just don't see why a 47-page application form in a PDF. That's fine. It works. Does the job. It's kind of interesting to see. We've all got similar challenges and problems, and it's just technology and culture and process. It's the age-old kind of chestnuts that come through.
No, absolutely. And I know there are a couple of people here from the banks. I've had a chat to a few of them, over coffee. Have you had a chat to them and compared experiences?
Yeah, so I certainly had a chat to a couple before, and certainly with Nedbank. And it's fascinating, certainly from Australia, we hear a lot about the innovation side in South Africa, and it's really exciting to see, certainly in terms of banking and small business and that kind of accounting CRM space, the innovation's just rife.
100%.
But upon speaking to people, that the same stuff still applies of, it's still very much a branch-centric culture and we don't get the profile of digital needs and no one wants to invest money in core systems and you've got these startups, kind of brand-new technology platforms and still got that new car, shiny startup smell. Yeah. So we got a 30-year-old legacy sticky taped together and barely breathing. It's fascinating. Doesn't matter halfway around the world, still got the same problems of sort of platform and process. So it's kind of that kind of group therapy comfort blanket that we all kind of share, that kind of common kind of challenge. And it's just really down to the hints and tips of how do you overcome that in each of your own way.
Absolutely. And in terms of the, just on a personal note, the biggest experiences or the biggest insights that you've gained for yourself over the last 2 years, because what you're doing is not, you're pushing the boundaries. What have been the biggest aha moments for you over the last 2 years?
The mantra I love is the world of fail fast. And I know everyone says it, but everyone kind of talks it up. But the reality is a lot of people, when they do fail, they effectively get their ass kicked in the relevant corporate. So,
and it's designed like that. It's the way it's designed.
That's it. And I think for myself, we've had the luxury where we've failed multiple times. And at the end of the day, whether it's your work life or your personal life, you don't learn if you don't fail. So I think we've taken that and we've sort of meandered along the way and we've screwed some things up, but we've also made some brilliant outcomes at the same time. Yeah. So I think it's really down to just getting those learnings, but just running with it and not stopping and 100%. Getting all bogged down in process and regulatory and legal. So, all right, that's nice. There's an issue there. Let's just clean it up and get on with it. So it's infusing that kind of pragmatism and speed, which I think banking still kind of struggles with an industry. And they're too busy worrying about what startups going to kind of poke and prod them overnight. So
absolutely, and couple that with compliance, I'm sure that's also a big issue.
I think compliance isn't as scary as what it is. I think it's just coming down to the basics. There's just things you can and can't do. It's really around getting the right people on board and really challenging the status quo. Where in our recent project, we thought there's a whole bunch of things we asked customers that they had a legal reason behind it, where they had no legal reason. It was just there because the product guys wanted the nth degree of detail about a customer. So we just got rid of them. Reduced about 20% of the fields we asked in this particular program. So I think it's a bit of an excuse factory though. That's a legal compliance thing. Well, actually, it isn't. Show me evidence otherwise. And as soon as you bring evidence in, people magically back away into a hole, don't they?
No, absolutely. And compliance almost becomes the immune system to reject what you're doing. In fact, because I remember Brett Sinclair, who ran all the digital products at Barclays. He wound up actually going to the South African Reserve Bank to actually prove his point. And there was no compliance. It just became the excuse of why not to do.
Yeah.
Which makes it really challenging. It makes it a very, very challenging process. In one of the presentations, the one you're doing just now, in fact, on innovating at speed, how do you drive speed in the organization? Because, you've got pockets that move forward very quickly and then pockets that pull you back. And I'm making an assumption, based on the experience.
I think so. And one of the secrets is really having that end-to-end kind of accountability. So between, certainly from my business team, like I have, product owners in my team. And I call the guys in my team, you're the CEO of a feature or the app. Yeah. So you come up with the idea, you own the insights, you brief in IT, you build it, you test it. You fail, you succeed, whatever it ends up being. So having that accountability with your guys and your team. So it's all around, I guess, empowerment and culture to really drive those guys forward. And then really in terms of enabling an initiative, it's really having that full capability. So
for sure.
I think a lot of us struggle with these shared teams where you kind of got to join the queue to get resources. So the biggest one is proving the ROI of whatever the initiative is,
yeah,
and having
absolutely.
That end-to-end team. So everything from, hey, I've got an idea, right through to pushing that button in the app store, you've got full end-to-end capability to make or break an initiative. So that's quite hard, given all the pressures and everyone juggling multiple projects. But I think if you can work towards even a little tiny team that can do 80% of the effort, it's amazing that the agility that you can get by just kind of ring-fencing
Fantastic.
The best of the best in those teams.
And how do you bring your customer into this process? Because, you know, so often, and it sounds like almost like a stupid question, but so often we'll go into an organization and the guys are doing user testing. And they're asking the customer, but the problem is they haven't even validated the business idea before they've done the user testing. How do you guys bring in the customer? How do you incorporate the customer into the process?
Yeah, I guess it really depends on the initiative. So, and there's, I guess, various types of user testing. So if you've got a bit of an idea, you don't want to sort of spend oodles of money bringing in 12 people and spending a whole week and only realize on Friday, that idea isn't going to work. So I guess we kind of go through a bit of a feasibility list of, hey, I've got an idea. Let's just kind of create a quick sketch or mock-up and we can branch out to an online community. So we've even used websites like Try My UI or Google Surveys just for the sake of $100 and a couple of hours. Hey, guys, we've got an idea. What do you think? Even just using like news polls, like we've used the news websites at home going, what do you think about blah? So we've kind of got a lot of tricks in our toolbox. So whether it be polls or online surveys and then you can kind of get to the meaty kind of 1 hour user testing kind of phases. But by then you want to have a fair amount of your high level insights.
Absolutely.
So by the time you're bringing in a user, you're kind of really just validating that you think you're on a winner. So there's, I guess, a lot of degrees of how you can test something. So it's really just making sure you've got the right part of the funnel set up to validate those answers.
Wonderful. And just really from a South African perspective, what have you really enjoyed about being across here?
I think the food's fantastic. I certainly went out last night and got introduced to South African wines. And
But you got good wines in Aussie.
Yeah, we not bad wines. Yeah, so it's you know, I got a little goodie bag of I think chocolates and a few other bits and pieces. So certainly a good chance to test all the old food and bev. And I've certainly got the 1 day safari organised on my last day
fantastic.
Here. So
fantastic. Where are you going to?
I think I'm going to one of the national parks. I only booked it about 2 hours ago. Running off to check my gym. I thought, God, if I don't go on a safari, the wife's going to kill me.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the obligatory selfie with a rhino or whatever the kids do these days. So, certainly looking forward to that. So it's a bit of a rapid-fire trip, but
fantastic.
Certainly got a taste and the urge to bring the family back. So I can't wait to
wonderful,
do that.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to having you back in South Africa. Simon, thank you so much for joining us for this little brief session here. On the customer experience and innovation tech fest. So thank you and enjoy the rest of your stay.
All right, no worries. Thank you.
Well, that was fun, Brett. I enjoyed
that
chat.
It really was.
Fantastic.
And that was just one interview of so many great speakers here at the CX and Innovation Tech Fest.
Absolutely.
So if you liked this interview and you liked hearing all the thoughts and future explorations, then there's more.
There is. It's on the Futurology CX page.
Yes.
So please go and find those on there. Also on iTunes. And of course, if you want to be inspired within your organization, drop us a line, because what you've experienced here, we're quite happy to come and set up a framework within your organizations. Because the inspirational part of moving beyond the disruption and the challenge of technology is important to you. So thank you, Brett. I've enjoyed
our time. Thank you, Michael. CliffCentral.com.